Hey, you know what time it is? It's time for another episode of Magical Boys, a gaming podcast, anime podcast, trash television podcast, comics, all that shit. But from a queer perspective...
Can I tell you how many times I've been to a show
yeah.
or watched something, and the first thing they did when they came out was just go, hey!
Hey!
And that's how they start the show.
It's like, hi! Welcome to the thing. We're here, and it is I, the one and only DJ Kirkland, and I'm joined by... my sweet boy, all the way in the A, Ruben Medina.
Oh, that's right. Coming to you from Hot Lanta.
From Butt-Lanta.
From Butt-Lanta. That's a little bit more accurate. It's like 30 degrees here right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've just, our weather's been all over the place. Okay, it's 40. Whatever. I'm exaggerating. But anyway.
No, it's fine.
It was in the 20s last night. I was like, yeah, what the hell?
That's not okay.
Anyway, that's the weather. Just get that out of the way first.
Yeah, it's basically been raining all month here in the Bay.
Well, California needs it.
Yeah, we do, because like the second that end of April hits, it's just going to be hot and dry.
Ugh. Which, just that dry mouth. Ugh.
It's not good. Ugh. It's not good. So I'll take all this rain that we're getting right now. But yeah, so what's going on? Like, what are you doing? What are you playing? What are you watching?
Man. I'm not playing a lot lately. I've had time, but I've been finding myself watching stuff.
Yeah.
More, just because I think I've been doing, like, lots of other things while I want... like, I have stuff I've been needing to do, so I can't play and do something else at the same time.
Right.
But I can watch it. So, I've been playing some Kingdom Hearts 3 and Apex Legends, but we've talked about both of those before. Mm-hmm. Kingdom Hearts 3 continues to be fine.
A beautiful mess.
It's, like, it's fine.
Yeah.
It was funny getting to the, I did the Tangled world, and I think I'm done with the Toy Story world, where I'm, like, near the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the Tangled world is just the
movie.
It's just the movie strip.
Yeah, it is.
And I was,
it is.
Like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yep.
And Apex Legends continues just to be, like, a good go. Like, do you want, like, a quick session of playing games for 20 minutes?
Yeah.
It's good for that. But mainly, I watched all of One Day at a Time in, like, 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
Because Erin was out of town. She's back, but she was out of town. Yay. So I was just like, I'm just going to watch things forever.
Give her a big hug and a kiss for me.
I will. So now I'm making her watch it. And she's like, why are you making me watch things that make me cry?
Right.
Because One Day at a Time will make you cry a lot.
Oh, it made me cry several times.
And Rita Moreno is amazing in it as Lydia.
Yeah.
That show's good, though. That show's really good. That show's, like, really, really good. Like, it's a two-camera style sitcom. I don't love the laugh track stuff, but, like, good suggestion, DJ. Because it is, it's funny how it's, like, you don't realize. I think I grew up watching, like, so many, there were, like, white sitcoms, and then there are, like, black family sitcoms, like, Family Matters or Fresh Prince.
Yep.
Which is always weird. I don't know. My outsider perspective on those was, like, they always felt like black family sitcoms, but, like, kind of made to be palatable for white audiences.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
If that makes sense. Versus,
no,
like...
no, it totally does.
Stuff
totally
on,
does.
Like, UPN or, like, Martin, which is, like, felt more like a sitcom that was, like, actually for the black community. That sounds weird. I feel awkward saying it, but, like...
yeah.
There was a difference to me in how those two different things felt. Or, like, A Different World. Felt like a black sitcom that wasn't really sanitized for white audiences necessarily.
Right.
Does that make sense?
No, it totally does make sense, because, like, from my perspective, like, watching those shows, it's like, I think it was something that was very indicative of the 90s, to where, like, it's like, oh, hey, like, this is what it's like being black, and, like, all the things that black people deal with, but in a way that's not too black, that white people are made to feel uncomfortable, even though they did go there in certain episodes. But it was very much those, like, on a very special episode of Family Matters, we talk about race and then stuff like that. But with something now, like you fast forward like 15, 20 years to today, we're looking at shows like One Day at a Time, which is very much like the same kind of like style of late 80s and 90s sitcoms, because this is a good reimagining of the show of the same name, One Day at a Time. That was a show that came out in 1975 by Norman Lear, and Norman Lear still worked on the reimagining of this version of One Day at a Time. So he is like well in his 90s and is still like working in television, which I'm like, get it. And for him to be like involved in this show is like really cool, especially in such a drastic reimagining of what the show originally was.
And like One Day at a Time also feels aggressively Cuban in every single episode.
Oh, absolutely.
Which I didn't necessarily get that with like, let's think about like a lot of like black family sitcoms in the 90s. Like you said, like you didn't really feel, it didn't feel like there was as much blackness happening unless it was like a special episode dealing with black issues.
Right.
And I think that's how a lot of minority, like everyone always says like, oh, in the 90s, like there were sitcoms of a bunch of different cultures. Mm-hmm. And there were, and that was good. But I definitely feel like it was sort of like that, where it was, they were very white in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And then a special episode would happen about violence or about drugs that would like kind of give you that culture's like dealings with it. But yeah, One Day at a Time is excellent. I hope it gets another season.
Yeah.
I'm really basic because Schneider is really cute to me. No,
but like he's, but facts, like
he's, also a narcissist because like we look a little similar and I'm just like, I just want to be in Schneider shape.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's really good looking. And I love how the show manages to tackle all of these things and not feel like on a very special episode of One Day at a Time. It's a natural progression and a natural thing in the story, in those arcs, in those episodes about particular topics. It's really good.
Well, and here's the thing that like I think part of why it feels organic, because when you are doing a show that's like content wise feels whitewashed, or it is a like white family sitcom, it has to be a very special episode, or it has to be like very forced, because like, sorry, y'all don't deal with problems that often.
Yeah.
Where it's like One Day at a Time, and I think other sitcoms where you are like truly representing like a culture, it feels organic, because it's like, yeah, these are problems that you deal with every fucking day. So it's in every episode that there's like a little bit of it, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So it doesn't feel like the show is like, the show tackles so many things really well, but it doesn't feel like it's always on a soapbox about it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's just like real. But now I very much identify with Elena, because I don't speak Spanish. Not very well. And I'm white passing and I'm gay. and then I also just identify with Schneider, because like all of my like shitty white boy tendencies are very much Schneider.
Yeah.
Where he's like too bougie, too put together. A lot of that. Yeah. It's really good. You should watch it. People should watch it. That way Netflix sees that people are watching it and give it another season.
Yeah. I'm literally about to just like have it on in the background again, like just so that it continues to get the views that it needs, so that Netflix can be like, oh, people really like this Cuban family show. So let's give it another season.
They better.
Yeah. It's so good. So definitely watch One Day at a Time. I highly recommend it. My fiance was the one that got me into it. So I watched a couple episodes of it with him, like, out of context. And so even just sitting, watching those episodes with him before I sat through the entire series of what's available currently on Netflix, like, I was like, oh my God, like, why am I crying?
every
other episode. Like, it's so good. Like, my favorite joke was when they were talking about when Elena was using Latinx as to describe people, and then Rita Moreno was like, oh, let me get you a Latinx, and gave her a Kleenex.
Yes. And I love that they let, like, Rita Moreno's character is, like, still slightly racist, as most Cuban grandparents are.
Yeah.
Where it's like, well, Cuban's the best Spanish.
Yeah.
it's very accurate, and it's very good. Watching that, I've been watching a lot of Gundam. So I finished watching Gundam Iron-Blooded Orphans. Well, the first season, supposedly the dub of the second season just went up.
Okay.
So now I can, like, blast through the dub. I watched through Gundam Unicorn, which is underwhelming.
Yeah.
It's really pretty. Like, it's really, really pretty. Mm-hmm. And there's cool story stuff in it if you, like, are familiar with mainline Gundam.
Yeah.
But I think the ending is really bleh. And the main character is the fucking worst. Banager is, like, the worst whiny dude protag. I hate him. I hate him so much. I had to watch, like, 8 hours of Banager just being terrible. And I'm watching Gundam The Origin right now, mm-hmm. Which is kind of similar. Like, Gundam Origin... Well, I mean, Unicorn came out over the course of, like, 7 or 8 years.
Yeah. It came out in, like, little bits and pieces, right?
Yeah, it started in, like, 2011, and I think, like, the most... It's, like, OVA style. And, like, the most recent or last episode came out, like, 2 years ago, I want to say. So I think The Origin was in 2015. They were actually going to, like, recut the series as... So it comes out as a TV series instead of an OVA, I think.
Got it.
But it's cool because it's about... it's very melodramatic, feels like old Gundam, but it's about Char as Noble, like, before Mobile Suit Gundam starts. It's basically about, like, his childhood and, like, how he became Char as Noble. So you get, like, a lot of really interesting backstory stuff that also helps, like, if you're not super into Gundam.
Yeah.
It helps, like, understand how the 1 year war started and why it started and like all the kind of players involved in that. So it's really, really good. And it's on Hulu. I think it goes off of Hulu in like 8 or 9 days. So I have to finish it.
Yeah.
It's not on there much longer. So that's what I've been up to. What about you, DJ? What are you watching and playing?
So now that I finally fucking finished Black Mage, like it is.
Wait one second. Sorry. Just because Aaron is in the living room. I'm in the office and she's in the living room, obviously on the couch.
Yeah.
And I guess it's. I just got a Discord thing. She's like, it's Aznable. not Char Aznable. It's Aznable. And now she's saying, I'm sorry. So. My wife is dragging me in meteorettes.
God, I love her so much. I mean, just love that. I mean, it's like a true testament to like a real relationship to where like your significant other fucking drags the shit out of you, like through fucking like random social media channels. Like,
I'm in pain today. I can barely walk, and she's like, "It's Aznable," with the like looking eyes emoji, like.
Oh my god, like, I will just get home from work, like, I'll open the door, and, like, Brandon is already dragging me. I'm like, well, it's great to see you too.
I just need to have her on the podcast so she can just drag me and people can hear it while it's happening.
Yeah, please. Please, that would be amazing.
Anyway, I'm so sorry I interrupted you, DJ. Breaking news. So.
No, that's fine. You can interrupt me anytime when Aaron decides she wants to drag you. It's fine. So since I finally finished Black Mage, it's over, it's done, like, it's ready to go. I actually can have a social life again, and I can actually play video games again and not feel guilty about it. So I've just kind of dived deep into Kingdom Hearts 3, because basically the game came out at the end of January, and I played like 1 or 2 hours of it. And then I basically took off the entire month of February to finish the book. So I was like, I can't make any kind of a time commitment more than 10 or 15 minutes to video games while I have to get this fucking book done. So it's nice to have been able to just like sink several hours into the game every day when I come home from work or just like when I'm off. So I'm not too much further than you. I'm about 13, 14 hours into the game right now. I'm in the Frozen world.
Oh my god. I've heard the Frozen world is rough.
It's not good. I guess you might want to skip this if you haven't played the game or not, so like a mild spoiler. So like there's in the Frozen world there is an ice labyrinth, and that's probably the most interesting part of the Frozen part so far, because one of the members of Organization 13 comes in and is like, it's like, I wonder if Elsa will use her bisexual ice magic for darkness. And then she like locks you in this ice prison, but I'm like, don't I have fire magic? Can't I just melt this ice labyrinth with my fire magic? Can't you just get rid of it, Sora? Like, and I was like, don't I have a meteor attack with Donald already? So... why can't we just set it on fire and melt it? But that's been the most interesting part of that map so far. But again, kind of like the Tangled world, it's just the movie. Like, it's just a movie without all of the key story beats. Like, you get, like, for whatever reason, like, I had to sit through Let It Go, like, the like a recreation of Let It Go again. The entire Let It Go again. but featuring Donald, Goofy, and Sora, like, in the background.
That's my favorite. That's my favorite shit is, okay, so I hate that, like, I really don't like them just doing, like, it's just the movie.
Yeah.
Like, I like it when it's like, oh, here's something new that's happening in this realm with these characters you already know and love.
Yeah.
But my favorite part about it's, like, it's just the movie is, like, characters doing shit and then just, like, Donald and Goofy and Sora.
It just cuts to them, like, in the background, like, oh.
Oh, yuck. Like.
Yeah.
Just like, them watching.
Like, the whole scene in the Frozen world to where Flynn, or whatever the fuck the dude's name is, when he's like dying, and she's like, oh my god, like, let me heal you with my hair, and then like Sora, Donald, and Goofy are just in the window, and they're like, oh,
Sora, like, I know that Sora has to understand death because serious shit happens all the time in Kingdom Hearts, right. But I feel like Sora doesn't understand death.
No, I don't think that he does either. Like, that concept is, like, very foreign to him, I think. But
or sadness.
Yeah, or sadness.
He's just like...
but I will say that my favorite Keyblade so far is the one from the Tangled world. It's very good. So that's probably, like, the best Keyblade so far. I was listening to Waypoint Radio, as I always do.
We both always do.
And as always, I typically agree with a lot of what they say. And I agree a lot with what Patrick Klepek said about how the Disney stuff, they don't really go deep enough with it. But I think part of that is, because when Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2 happened, Disney was a very different company then.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pre-Marvel, pre-Star Wars, all that stuff. So since that 12, 13 years since then, Disney has evolved and changed into this, like, completely different company than it was back then. So I feel like they don't really do as much with the Disney stuff as they could. They're not using any of the Disney IPs in really interesting ways outside of the Keyblades. They're not really doing much with them, at least as far as I've played in the game thus far. I will say that that when you go to the Toy Box world, that first little cutscene, I was like, is this a different game? Like, at first I was like, did I like queue up a YouTube video like on accident and had it streamed to my television on accident? But I'm like, whatever that thing is, I want to play that. Like, I want to play, like, that, whatever that cutscene was, I would want to play that game.
Yes, it looks, and I know some things because I spoiled myself for some things, which I won't spoil them here, but, yeah, when I saw that cutscene, I was just like, look at this fucking Kingdom Hearts ripoff anime ass in a big city, like, looks like Final Fantasy 15, yeah. Kind of, which is really cool. I don't know. That might be more important than we know at this point.
Yeah.
Based on things that I've seen.
Yeah.
But I was like, I want to play that game. Make that game.
Yeah,
I have the same exact response.
That was my response when I saw them. Like, that looks really fucking cool. So I think so far, the Toy Box world is probably the most innovative thing that they've done with the Disney IPs. Like, I thought that segment of the game was really fun.
It's new stuff. You can have the robots.
Yeah, the robots and all that stuff. I thought that was really cool. So that's probably the most fun that I've had with the game so far. I've been enjoying it, like, altogether. The Frozen stuff is kind of a slog, which I'm not surprised that it is that way. But it would have been more interesting if Disney had allowed Square Enix to kind of make some, like, not canon things with those IPs to kind of, like, integrate it into the story of Kingdom Hearts a little bit more. Like, it just...
Yeah, I wonder what that meeting looks like.
Yeah, I wonder... I feel like there's like, we're not gonna let you do this so that you can't really go there, so you can only utilize what was in the film for these portions of the game. It had to have been, because it feels very baseline and very, like, underwhelming. But I've still been enjoying it and having a lot of fun with it.
I do wonder about that. I would be curious, like, was just seeing, like, yo, like, basically just make this a thing where they play through the movie, because that's, like, our stuff, and you can't, like, do new stuff with it.
Right.
Especially given the fact that, like, Tangled has a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Frozen has a sequel coming out. But at the same time, like, I don't know, maybe Nomura was just like, nah, it'll be like they're in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, because the Toy Story world is the most interesting so far, yep. because it's what I expect from Kingdom Hearts, which is, like, new stuff that involves those characters, and you see how the Heartless are involved. And, like, they do that with a story, but now it's like, hey, do you remember the story of Tangled? Well, some of that stuff was happening because these Bishonen boys from Organization 13 mm-hmm. were, like, pulling the strings. And it's just, like, weird.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, rewriting the canon almost in a different way. It's just really weird to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's really weird to me as well. Yeah, but beyond that, I've been having a lot of fun with it. And I was talking to some of my coworkers at my day job about this. I was saying that, like, I would love to play the Kingdom Hearts game to where the Disney stuff isn't there, but they're just going to all of the different Final Fantasy worlds. Like, they go to Final Fantasy X, they go to Final mm-hmm. Fantasy VII, they go to Final Fantasy IX, they go to Final Fantasy they go like to all of the Final Fantasy worlds and like they're fucking shit up in those timelines, and how mm-hmm. do they disconnect those worlds to let them be as they are. That would have been more interesting to me, because I feel like they would have had a lot more fun and would have been able to do a lot more things, because they own all of those properties.
And cheaper, because you're not licensing Disney.
It would have been it would have been a lot cheaper too. Like, I would have loved to have seen, like, Sora and two random anime companions, like, help. Like it could be like any of the Final Fantasy characters that are his companions, like, help him, but like Vivi and somebody else, like, help Sora, like, disconnect these Final Fantasy worlds. Like, they take, like, the princesses, instead of like them being the Disney princesses, it's like Aeris, it's Terra, it's other characters that, like, play, like, big roles in those games, and, like, you know, saving them or whatever that looks like. I feel like that would have been a lot more interesting, because I think that World of Final Fantasy is kind of that concept almost, but in a different way. Like, World of Final Fantasy, I still think, is one of my favorite, like, Final Fantasy spin-off games, and I think does a really good job of, like, taking all of these characters from these various IPs and, like, mashing them together and it being a lot of fun and really tongue-in-cheek. Like, I think that idea, if given the resources that they have for Kingdom Hearts and to do an action RPG, could be really cool. So that's kind of where I'm at with it so far, but I'm still been having a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think it's and, like, I don't know, it's always the Disney aspects of Kingdom Hearts have always been filler, sort of.
Yep.
Like, Mickey is sort of important, but, like, actually the things that happen in, like, the Disney worlds is not ever important. Like, if you watch a synopsis video of any of them, they don't talk about the Disney shit at all,
right,
for the most part.
Right.
Just, like, the princesses are important because they're the light.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
Really. So, yeah, it'd be, we'll see. Because they're not going to, I think it sounds like they're making more of them, so.
Yeah. I hope they were able to lead more into the Final Fantasy stuff. Because that would.
And there's going to be DLC?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm in for whatever that's going to be. I'll buy it. Like,
mm-hmm.
like, as much shit as I'm giving this game, like, I'm still a fucking trash baby for all of it. So,
yeah, it's still Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah,
it's still Hearts. Like, gonna be all up in it.
Yeah, completely. Besides that, being able to actually, like, really play Smash Ultimate again has been so much fun.
I saw some of those clips you posted, and it was nasty.
Yeah, it's so much fun. I fucking love that game so much. We're about 3 months into Ultimate being out, since it came out in December. Yeah, so it's cool. Like, I fucking love it. I played with a group of boys from my day job, and I am, like, the queen of Smash to them, and they all basically cower to me, which is amazing, having this power over straight men. So it's really fun. And what's been really cool about that is, one, it kind of, like, we were able to kind of build, like, a friendship surrounding this game, which is kind of, like, my favorite part of Smash, is because I've met so many people that I now call friends through this game, and us playing together and watching each other improve and get better at the game has been something that, like, I've loved so much. And that's my favorite part. That's my favorite part of, like, I'm going to work, and then I see my coworkers there. They're like, dude, I've been training. I've been labbing with this new character. I want to play you with them. I want to see how I do against you and all that stuff. So it's been really cool to see that kind of excitement again around Smash Brothers. So I love that. And then it's not even a guilty pleasure at this point, but it's like one of my favorite 3D fighting games. Dead or Alive 6 came out last week. Ugh,
yes.
And I love that fucking titty fighting game so much.
It's still the same system, right? Like the counter system.
Mm-hmm. They've added some new stuff. They've added like this like break hold system, which basically is kind of like a, like you have like a super meter in the game, and you have like two stocks, and if you can use each stock of your super meter to do an escape, like a break escape move, which basically means like if you're in like a really bad combo, you can press the counter button pretty much. You press that plus like the special button, and then it allows you to like get out of like a nasty situation to kind of like reverse the tides of battle, which is pretty cool. And then there are these moves that are called like, I think they're called like break attacks or something like that, to where you just mash. Yeah, you just mash R1, and it does, like, a 5 or 6 hit combo, then it links into, like, their super move, which, from an accessibility standpoint, it's a pretty easy game to get into, and you can mash buttons in Dead or Alive, because there's basically, like, punch button, kick button, block and grab, so you can kind of mash in that game and get by, so I think it's pretty accessible to, like, a newcomer standpoint. But it's one of those things where I think once you understand the systems, that's where it starts to get a little bit more complex and all that. But it's really fun. And what's funny to me is that I remember when they announced that Dead or Alive 6 was happening, they're like, we want to make this game more accessible to people, and we want it to be like an esport. And so we are going to make, you know, not as horny costumes for the women. And while that is true for their default costumes, the horny outfits are still there.
Oh, I'm sure.
Which is fine. in general, because I was streaming the other day, and I was going through, like, a bunch of the costumes for the girls, they are tamer than they have been in the past, of the ones that are on the disc when you get the game, but I already know that it's gonna be even hornier. There are certain characters that have really horny costumes, like Christy, who's like the assassin with like the white short hair, has like a straight up like dominatrix costume where like her whole ass is out. Which, I mean, if that's your thing, then by all means, like, enjoy that. But I imagine that these DLC costumes that are coming are gonna be just as horny, if not hornier.
Well, they're charging, like, what? It's, like, $100 for the season?
Yeah, the season
and
pass.
And it's, like, 40 or 60 costumes or something?
Yeah, there's, like, a bunch of costumes and two characters, so it basically comes out to being, like, $1 per costume, and then, like, more for the characters, but I am not paying $100.
No, but I do feel like, because, like, that price, I feel like, tells me those costumes are gonna be nasty.
Oh yeah, I feel like
that's why they're charging. So they're like, oh, we know.
Yeah, we're gonna have those titty costumes for y'all.
Okay, well, like, even everything that comes in the pricey bundle, I'm just not even gonna read the whole thing. But Happy Wedding Costumes, Volume 1 and 2.
Yeah.
So that's like already getting into a specific sort of JAV fetish.
Oh. Definitely. It definitely does. No, I completely agree with that. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun, so I've been playing that too. And then as I was finishing up Black Mage, I was watching a couple of things over again. So I was watching Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood. That show was still very good. Like,
I need to finish it.
That, like, what a good show. Like, what a good manga. Oh man, like, that series is so fucking good. If you guys have not watched Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood, watch it. Watch it subtitled, because fuck Vic. And he's the voice of Edward Elric in the show. So
yes,
fuck that guy. So watch it subtitled. And then I had never watched all of the Death Note anime all the way through.
It's really good until it's not.
Yeah, it's really good until it gets really bad. Like, oh man, that
it should have ended when that character dies.
Yep.
Here I am avoiding spoilers for Death Note. But like the series should have ended when he dies.
Yeah.
Then they get into like the Mallow and his whoever the fuck him and his brother and
just like Mellow and whatever. I'm like this feels like when I was watching it, I was like, oh, so this is over now. Like we're done. And then it's like, nah, there's more. And that whole bit after that was real bad.
Yeah, it's just not good.
No, it's not good. And then me and my fiance watched Umbrella Academy together.
Mm-hmm.
And have you watched that on Netflix?
Yes, I finished it. Yeah.
Yeah. What did you think?
Have you read the comics?
No, I didn't read the comics.
It starts out, I think, pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
Klaus is a great character.
Mm-hmm.
I think that like nothing really happens for the first half of that show.
Yeah.
And then everything happens in the last two or three episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And their CG budget is like really good on Pogo. He looks amazing.
Oh, everything.
Their CG budget
everywhere
for
else.
Everything that isn't Pogo is
yikes.
Bad.
Yikes.
And the last two or three episodes is when everything happens. Mm-hmm. So the last two or three episodes is just like big superhero bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And it all looks real cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it misses what's interesting about that show, which is like the family relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it has a very weak ending,
yeah.
And it doesn't work as well as it worked, I think, as a comic. I still enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not. It feels like a CW show in some ways.
It felt very CW. It felt like this is like the CW being like more serious and like edgy. And it felt like that to me, which. I really enjoyed what I watched. I watched the whole thing. Like, I really enjoyed it. I did kind of feel like the sister, the I Heard a Rumor sister. Like,
yes, Rumor.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Didn't, like, I felt like they could have done more with her. But, mm-hmm. but I liked a lot of what I watched. I'm definitely intrigued for season two.
I love Mary J. Blige. She's a queen.
Yeah. Oh, and if you didn't know this, she did all of her own stunts.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, Mary, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because like there were some scenes because you know like whenever they do like the action shots where they're fighting and all that stuff and you don't really see their faces when they're like punching and kicking. I'm like, oh, that must be her stunt double. And I'm like, oh, that was Auntie Mary out here like doing like karate kicks and flips and everything. That was really cool. So like, she did a really good job.
She's really good in it, mm-hmm. and I think, like, there are good things about that
mm-hmm.
Show. It's just, like, coming from the comic,
yeah.
like, it diverges drastically, mm-hmm. right? The comic is really two different trade paperbacks.
Yeah.
There's the original, there's the first one, which is, like, kind of the main plot of that show,
yeah.
and then Dallas deals with, like, time travel and JFK's assassination,
mm-hmm.
And Hazel and Cha-Cha aren't in the first series
right.
at all.
Right.
They're in Dallas. And so it kind of like combined mm-hmm. both of those things together, which is why the ending was weird to me, because the ending very, very obviously is like, here we go again, like sets up another
mm-hmm.
season.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already like, there's no more source material. Like there's stuff I guess they haven't touched on,
mm-hmm.
but there's like, they kind of mined everything from Dallas to put it into first season stuff.
Yeah.
So it would have to be like all new direction from this point.
Mm-hmm.
Also the way that they set that up also just makes it feel like it just made it feel like stuff didn't matter, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Whenever it's a big thing where it's just like, well, figure it out again. I was just like, well, okay,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
I guess we'll go through this again in some way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was fine. I was more than anything, I was surprised and loved to see it being made.
Mm-hmm.
And outside of that, it's just like, you know, it was fine.
Yeah. And the other thing that I'm watching is Pen 15. It's a Hulu original series.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically about two girls who, like, the actresses are adults, but it's them in seventh grade. So it's the two actresses, like, dressed up like they were, like, in seventh grade in the year 2000. But all of the other kids in the school are actually like 13 years old. Like all the other actors like are all the kids, and like the two main characters are like themselves as adults playing themselves as if they were in middle school together. It's really funny to see like these two like grown women like dressed down like they were when they were kids, mm-hmm. and acting with like 12 and 13 year olds. It's really funny. It's pretty funny. There's some really like weird episodes that are in the show so far, but it's a really interesting comedy. So I don't really know how to describe it other than like reading the synopsis, but let me pull it up real quick.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about it. I just haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, let me see. Let me click this premise. Yeah, the premise. Pen 15 is described as middle school as it really happened. Erxine, yeah, the two actresses play versions of themselves as 13-year-old outcasts in the year 2000, surrounded by actual 13-year-olds, where the best day of their lives can turn into your worst with a stroke of a single gel pen. So it kind of it's like a slice of life of like being like a 13-year-old like in middle school, and mm-hmm. just like all the stuff that happens with being that age. And like the soundtrack is amazing because it's like all the stuff from the 2000s, and it's pretty hilarious. And what's cool is that one of the characters, she's half Japanese, and mm-hmm. I don't think she's half, but I think she's Japanese, and her dad is white, but the dad is in a cover band, so he's touring like throughout most of the show. And what's cool is that the actress cast her mom to play her mom in the show, which is really fun. So it's cool to see them speaking in Japanese to each other and it not being translated. So mm-hmm. what's cool is that like every time, because we watch everything with subtitles on it, so in the subtitles it just says speaking Japanese. Like, it doesn't translate what it is that they're saying, which I think is really cool. That I what I like so much, what a lot of shows are doing, is a lot of shows are allowing people to speak whatever their first or their like other family's native languages and mm-hmm. not translate it for like general audiences, because it's one of those things I think where it's like it's really cool that like they're doing this, and it's like this isn't meant for you, like this moment isn't catering to you as someone that doesn't know, like as an American that doesn't know like what the other language is. I think that's a really interesting thing to do, and I like that a lot, that they're like just allowing them to be who they are and not like, oh, this is what they're saying here.
Like, there are they do that a lot in One Day at a Time, yeah, for sure.
Which I love that they do that in One Day at a Time a lot too. But yeah, like it's really interesting. I think there's like 13 episodes. No, there are 10 episodes, and we're almost done. We're on like episode 7, I think. And they do have an episode where they like tackle race, and it's fucking hilarious, and like it's hilarious and sad and everything at the same time. But yeah, it's on Hulu. It's streaming. Check it out. All 10 episodes are up. It's pretty funny.
Let's check it out. Yeah, sounds. I've heard good things. I think Erin has maybe watched some of it, she said. I definitely want to check it out.
Yeah, so I guess it's going to wrap up this section, and that's good. That was about 40 minutes. So we'll take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about all the shit that's happening in the news about nerd shit. BRB. And we're back, and we're talking about a bunch of shit that's happened in the past week and a half or so. Last week, we had the Pokemon Nintendo Direct. That was a whopping 7 minutes. Yes. I got up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I guess it was the week before. No, it was last week. Got up at like 6 o'clock in the morning to watch that direct. And they announced Pokemon Sword and Shield, which are the new Pokemon games coming to Switch.
Yep, appears to take place in the UK. Mm-hmm. Looks very like, look, every gen is based on like an actual area. Mm-hmm. Looks like the UK. Mm-hmm. The starters are very cute.
Yes.
But we don't know anything.
Yeah, like, we don't know what like new mechanics are introduced. We don't know if they're going to be mega evolutions or whatever. But we do know that there's going to be like a mix of Pokemon from previous generations in this one, as there tends to be in each Pokemon game. They're peppered in previous gen Pokemon into this new world of new ones. So I'm interested to kind of see where they go. From the video that we saw, like, the only thing that I'm kind of, like, bummed out about is that it looks like random encounters are back. And
yeah, it looks like more mainline Pokemon style, yeah, like that, for sure.
And if there's anything that I wanted to transition from Pokemon Let's Go into the mainline Pokemon games, is getting rid of that.
That's a pretty big sentiment I hear a lot of people who played the Let's Go games, mm-hmm, was that, like, the world felt like it was full of Pokemon, mm-hmm, all of a sudden, and it just, like, random encounters can be annoying.
Yeah.
So, I get that.
Yeah.
Like, I think, I'm curious, how did it work in Let's Go? Did it just, like, repopulate areas with Pokemon when you left them and came back, or?
Yeah, so, okay. Like, you know how, like, when you're playing Pokemon Go and you're looking at your phone and you see, like, mm-hmm, the Pokemon kind of, like, pop up and they're just kind of, like, hanging out wherever you're at? So,
okay,
kind of take that similar idea, but, like, they're populated in that world map. So,
gotcha,
if there's, like, a particular Pokemon that's rare in that map, you would just have to keep, like, walking around and hoping they would pop up. So I really like that, because I did feel like the world was really, like, lush and filled with Pokemon. Part of it, I think, could probably be, like, a limitation of hardware. With the fidelity of the visuals that are in this game, it could be partially related to that. As a reason why they're not going that route in this game. Or it could be that they just didn't show them in the trailer to not give away what some of the new Pokemon are. But who knows? It's too early to really tell as to what mechanics are transitioning over from Let's Go into Sword and Shield. But even if random encounters are back, it's not the end of the world to me. I just think from a quality of life standpoint, I loved that, like, oh, I just want to get through this area. I don't want to, like, encounter any Pokemon right now. So, that was really beneficial. But, the biggest thing for me, and it's something that's been a big thing for me since X and Y, is that trainer customization. If they're going to continue to expand on trainer customization, I hope there are more options for people of color. So, I hope that we see, like, a skin tone slider, not necessarily just, like, here's the one brown option. Pokemon Sun and Moon had better options than the previous game did, but not by much. There were, like, basically four skin tone options versus there being three. So I hope that we see more of that, and I hope there's more trainer customization in general in this one too. But yeah, like, I'm gonna get it. I love the mainline Pokemon games. Like, I love Let's Go. I think Pokemon Let's Go is a really good, easy, like, low energy game to play, but still get, like, 90% of the traditional Pokemon experience out of them. Mm-hmm. But I'm really intrigued as to what the new features are of this game, and what if Mega Evolutions are back, or if Z moves come back in a similar capacity, what that looks like.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really curious about that. It does look like, which is a good thing. Somebody posted the trailer showed Pikachu briefly, because it has to, obviously. It showed Pikachu and the model they're using in Sword and Shield looks like the exact same model from Let's Go with shaders on it.
Yeah.
So I do like that the game looks, because I think Let's Go looked good.
Yeah.
But I do love that there's basically like an anime shader on the 3D models that wasn't there before.
Yeah.
And I think it looks really good. Mm-hmm. Also, that means ideally they have all of those models, like, already good to go for the most part. Mm-hmm. Except for those new ones. Also, Squirbunny is adorable. They're all the new
all
starters.
All the starters are good. I've always gone water types in every Pokemon game. I've always picked the water starter first.
Gotta get that Sobble.
But yeah, I do like my little depression lizard. Like, my little baby has anxiety and he's sad, and I want to see it grow up healthy and strong.
Mm-hmm.
But Squirbunny is very cute.
Gotta protect that Sobble. Yeah, Squirbunny just looks like he's depressed, but, like, not at that moment. Like, the moments we see, like, he looks like he's manic is what it is. Like, he's, like, so up here that there's no way that's him all the time, or that's real.
Yeah.
And I just want to understand. Whereas Sobble just seems sad. I mean, protect Sobble by all means.
Yeah.
I feel like sort of whatever about Grookey. It's like, Grookey's fine. I'll need to see Grookey's evolutions.
I mean,
but I'm already, like, very Score Bunny pro.
Yeah, and that's always the deciding factor for me. The only other game to where I didn't do the water starter was X and Y. With X and Y, I picked Fennekin because I liked Delphox, its final form. It's basically like a wizard fox, which I thought was
really Fennekin
cool.
Turns into a beautiful witch.
Yeah, which is really like, cool. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to, like, finding out more about the game. I'm interested to see what during, like, the next direct, or probably, presumably, we're not going to really see much about Pokemon until E3 at this point, because it is March, so we probably won't see much until then, but I'm interested to see more. I can't wait to see, mechanically, what they're going to do, what they're introducing in this game, so
yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
That's all I want. I just want some more pokes.
I want the pokes.
So he's giving them pokes. Yeah, no, I'm here for all them Pokemons. We also had this dropped today. So I guess Legendary has had the rights for a live action Gundam series for a minute. And so they named a writer, which I feel multiple ways. Like, I don't, it's that thing where it's like, do we need a live action Gundam? Not really. But at the same time, it's like, will it expose Gundam to more people? And maybe, you know, there's a possibility it could be good. Also, I think Gundam is a series that I think you could easily adapt to a Western series.
Absolutely.
I would want to see a TV series, though. Like, I'd want to see a TV series, like a Netflix series or something. I think a movie, I don't know, it's hard. I feel like it's hard to, like, properly do Gundam in 2 hours. But the writer for it is the writer of Saga, Brian K. Vaughan. And Saga's good as shit.
Yeah.
And Brian K. Vaughan's writing is usually really good. So that's at least, like, a hopeful thing.
Yeah.
Maybe. We'll see. There's no word about, like, if it's going to be a standalone Gundam story, if it's going to be Universal Century based. I can't imagine if they make a live action version of Gundam Wing. the worst decision.
Oh, God.
But yeah, so that was today. In other weird movie news, they showed the Sonic, or there were leaks of what we believe to be the design for the Sonic movie, Sonic, and it's a nightmare.
Wow,
I hate it.
That's like the fucking monster that I see in the corner when I have sleep paralysis. I'm like, there it is. Get it
when
away.
I'm having an anxiety attack, that's that's what I see. And the thing is, like, so Polygon has an article that it's, like, fans that are, like, making some tweaks to make it look better. So many of the ones that fans have, like, put in look so much better by changing, like, the smallest of things. Mm-hmm. Like, one of the ones is, like, Sonic has that weird, like, mono eye where he has just, like, one big eye, technically. And I know it doesn't make sense anatomically, but he looks... The ones where they've, like, changed that and not really changed anything else look so much better. Yeah. They look like Sonic.
Yeah. Do you have any of those? Because I haven't seen the one where they changed the eye to, like, the mono eye thing that he has.
Let me see. I think there's one of them. Polygon 2 hours ago. Yeah, even ones where, like, they give him... where they let him have, like, two eyes. Like, they made some slight... like, the one that's at the top of this article. They made some slight changes that, like, immediately help.
Yeah.
Like, it's immediately better because it looks like Sonic. Like, Sonic has, like, tall, kind of, like, oval pupils.
Oh, wow, that looks so much better.
Right? And it's they barely, like, they changed the nose. They made his arms, like, tan like they normally are. But they didn't do a lot to that.
Yeah.
Like, they really didn't do a whole lot.
Yeah, even the I'm looking at the, you know, there's the one that's, like, the top of the article. When you scroll down... where it says from like Lady GT,
yes,
the one on the left looks way better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because is that an edit? Because that's not the one from the movie. Oh no,
I don't know.
Because like that one does like that doesn't look horrible. That face doesn't look bad. But even the one on the right, like that would be that makes sense to me. And somebody I forgot I don't know who posted it on Twitter, but somebody posted a bunch of screenshots of Sonic from Sonic Boom's cast, like in the real world. They had one from with Mario from the Super Mario Odyssey commercial, and mm-hmm. a couple other things where it's like these video game mascots just as they are, but in the real world. It's like mm-hmm. that in and of itself is hilarious. Like yeah. you can just play off of that about how they're just their normal designs, but how they don't fit in the real world. Like it, yeah. and just play like that dynamic in and of itself is hilarious. Like just play that up as opposed to like we have to make it like blend into reality. It's like Sonic the Hedgehog doesn't work.
No, it doesn't look right. No. So I was just like, why? But so there's time. Maybe they'll fix it. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Yeah, that was it's like I see it constantly on my Twitter feed now. I'm just like, why are you doing this?
God, just like it's horrifying.
Oh God. THQ Nordic really showed their ass the other week.
Yeah.
In the worst of ways.
Yeah, so like when I woke up that day that this happened, like I wasn't quite sure what was going on because it was hard for me to follow along. So can you kind of break that down as to kind of what happened with that a little bit?
Yeah, THQ Nordic, which they've been like buying up a lot of IPs mm-hmm. Over the past like couple of years, if I remember correctly. But THQ Nordic was just like, hey guys, we're not sure how or why, but we're doing an AMA over on 8chan. And if you're not familiar with 8chan, you're probably familiar with 4chan. 4chan, you know, being an image board on the internet that for the most part is known to be, popularly people would call it the asshole of the internet. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's, yeah, like 4chan is like, I think there's importance for places to exist like 4chan, mm-hmm. but also it's like where the worst people can do whatever they want because it's completely anonymous. And it's where like, you know, a lot of white supremacists and bad shit gather. So even with 4chan being that bad already, basically 8chan was created when people on 4chan thought that 4chan was being too strict mm-hmm. and that it was being like censoring them too much. So 8chan was created as like the most lax, where basically 8chan became known to be like the most racist, to not really do anything if like child porn got posted, like
yikes.
Just a fucking cesspool.
Yikes.
So THQ Nordic, which, you know, the AMA thing is frequent, yeah. but it's like on Reddit or on Twitter or on Facebook, which are also trash, but in like, you know, very exponentially different ways.
Exactly. Yep.
And they're like, we're going to have, we don't know why or how, but we're doing this thing on 8chan. And so everyone immediately is just like, yo, wait, what? Why would you associate your brand and do an AMA and like court? You do an AMA to like build hype and court an audience for stuff that you have coming mm-hmm. out. Why are you doing that on 8chan? And then like people were posting screenshots of like people would say fucked up stuff on 8chan or ask fucked up questions. Mm-hmm. And the PR people that were handling the AMA would like respond to it like in the sort of normal way that 8chan people would, which is like, we're all just joking and saying these terrible things, but they're jokes, so they're okay. And after all the backlash, basically their THQ Nordic was like, oh, hey, we didn't even realize, like we had no idea. I think there's an actual, let's see, this is from CEO Lars Wingefors from THQ Nordic. I condemn all unethical content this website stands for, even if no one within THQ Nordic group would ever endorse such content. I realize simply appearing there gave an implicit impression that we did. And it's just like, yeah, every member of the organization has learned from the past week's events. I take this matter very seriously, and we will take all appropriate action to make sure we have the right policies and systems in place to avoid similar mistakes in the future. It is... God, they made a tweet that was like, when people started saying stuff like, yo, what the fuck are you doing? Mm-hmm. I think they said, like, someone, like a moderator or whoever they, like, help, whoever they set up the AMA with on 8chan side was going to, like, help keep the AMA like clean of the usual really bad 8chan stuff. Mm-hmm. And then like they're like, shout outs to Mark. So shout out to Mark became a meme of just like the worst stuff is happening around you and like you're implicit and you're just like, shout outs to Mark. So yeah, it's just the apology is just weird and wild. Yeah, the marketing director Philip Brock says he failed to do the proper due diligence to understand the history and controversy of the site, do not condone child pornography, white supremacy, or racism in any shape or form. And it's just like, you got, A, are you so bad at your job that you, from a marketing perspective, are you so bad at your job and negligent that you go to do an AMA and you don't do any research about what that website is or what's going on there? Mm-hmm. Like, because that just means that you're really bad at your job and you shouldn't be, not that you shouldn't even have that job, you shouldn't have that job and you shouldn't be in that profession.
Right.
If you don't do the bare minimum of just looking into what is this platform we're about to have our stuff on.
Right, yeah.
Which to me doesn't make sense. I don't think it's hard for me to believe someone in marketing at a company that's like a pretty, like a decent sized game publisher.
Yeah, that seems, yeah, that doesn't make sense to me. Like,
is that bad at their job?
Yeah, like, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, as someone that's worked in, like, games marketing before in the past, like, there are lots of conversations that we have when we're talking about creating, when we're putting together, like, the game plan or, like, the brand strategy for promoting whatever it is that we're going to be promoting for whatever upcoming game release event tied to that game, whatever that looks like. There are conversations ahead of time. They're like, what is the best place that we should go to do this? Where can we love, where do we see most of our fans or people that engage with our content communicating? Where do we think that they go? Where are the best places where we can get our message out to the most amount of people? In most circumstances, we're looking at Facebook and Twitter. But like, when you are wanting to go something more specialized, like why didn't you guys just do it on Reddit? Like, why? Like,
yeah.
Like, Reddit...
Reddit's bad enough. Reddit's might as well already just, everyone, and everyone does it on Reddit anyway.
Yeah, like, Reddit's a shithole enough as it is anyway, but, like, at least by doing it on Reddit, like, every other brand, like, celebrities, brands have done AMAs on Reddit. Like, there had to have been a conscious decision to choose 8chan over Reddit for doing this, so it appears to me that someone that's in-house there, like, is an active 8chan user and thought that that was okay or would be a good place to do an AMA. Like, that, like, it doesn't add up.
And it's not like they just, like, posted up on 8chan and decided to do it. Like, they specifically said in that tweet that they talked to people at 8chan to set up the AMA, as you do when you're a marketing company. You talk to the platform you're going to use first, right, to, like, get it set up and do it. And, like, there's no way. I can't imagine.
Yeah.
To me, it's so less likely that they're that bad at their job and that they're just that ignorant or dumb. And it's like, HN, Patrick Klepek has an article about the apology, and he brings up a good point that, like, HN isn't, like, the language that gets used is a controversial website, which he points out is, like, a legal-friendly centrist term implying there's active debate over what HN is or isn't. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, like, HN isn't, to me, like, controversial is, like, oh, well, you know, like, maybe there's, like, it's problematic, or there's good and bad on it, or, like, maybe there's some ideas held there that are, like, a little more radical, whatever. Yeah. Like, when it's, like, there is shit consistently on this website that breaks the law and is, like, morally and ethically not just dubious, but disgusting, and it's known as a place for people that want to engage in that behavior and in that stuff and to consume that stuff to go to, it's not controversial. It's gross. It's just a bad place. Right. And it's... So to me, it just feels like you have to know that there are people in these game companies that, A, side with groups like Gamergate and the type of crowds that 4chan and even 8chan bring. And when you have all the, like, oh, SJWs are ruining games, all politics in my games, blah, blah, blah bullshit, this is a way for them to cash in on being like, not us, we're cool.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no, I just, nothing else makes sense to me. It has to be an appeal to want that audience base because you want their money.
Absolutely.
And it's just mad disgusting. So I'm just like, sorry, THQ Nordic. Like, I don't know. I'm glad that I don't think they have anything coming out that I want to play, because that makes it much easier for me to not spend any money on any of their shit.
Exactly.
So, it's just, it's one of the, like, just one of the worst bad marketing moves I've seen ever.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, I don't know how you do it either.
So the next thing, I'm actually really bummed out about this, and I'm kind of bummed out about the news and just, like, the general consensus surrounding Anthem right now. Like, what a fucking bummer, because I was really looking forward to this game.
Same.
So, like, Anthem apparently is crashing and bricking PlayStation 4s, and Sony is offering refunds to people for the game.
Yeah, which is weird that it's coming from... I want to dig more on that. Like, I need to read more about that later, because it's weird to me that Sony is offering refunds.
Yeah.
And not BioWare?
Right.
Right? Because it's their game?
Yep.
But maybe because it's only happening on PS4s and X. I don't know. Either way, that game is... People are comparing it to Destiny 1 when Destiny 1 first came out. I will say Destiny 1 when it first came out wasn't great, but Destiny 1 wasn't... I don't remember it being this bad.
I don't think... Yeah, like, when I... Like, the only thing that I remember specifically about Destiny 1 when it came out that was kind of, like, in the news was the whole, it's a wizard on the moon.
Oh, my God, like, yeah.
That was the only thing that I really heard from...
That wizard came from the moon.
That wizard came from the moon.
Like, Peter Dinklage.
Yeah.
Who they eventually replaced with Nolan North. Yeah, it's... There are aspects about that game I really like. Like, I have that free 10-hour demo with EA Access. I will probably put more time into it just to, like, play more of it, because certain things about it feel really good. But yeah, like, someone just posted on Reddit today that, like, is getting picked up by a couple of news outlets that there appears to be a bug, either a bug or they just never did anything about this. Which I guess would be a bug would work the same way. But the damage numbers don't seem to mean anything. Like, they were showing basically, like, a masterwork gun. And then when you shoot someone, it's, like, showing, like, 1,100-something damage per shot. Yeah. And then, like, a level 1 gun that you get at the beginning of games, basically, that's, like, doing 200-something. But as far as the health bar is concerned for the enemy, it's doing the same amount of damage. And the gun... And, like... The level 1 gun is killing the enemy faster. Wow. So they're just like, these numbers don't mean anything. Wow. Yeah, it's... There's a lot. I don't know what's going on over there. Like, I hope BioWare figures their stuff out. I hope that Anthem in 6 months is, like, really good and fixes a bunch of shit. And it's a game that I want to play. But as it is right now, like, everyone was like, oh, it's going to be the Destiny killer. And I thought it might be as well. And, man, they're having a rough time, and then Destiny just announced their new season of stuff, and they're, like, they've added a bunch of... It's not, like, story content, but all the content they are adding looks really fun and really interesting. Yeah. They're doing special missions to, like, make so that you can basically get your level cap caught up to what you need to be at to enjoy some of the new content in, like, an hour. They're making it really accessible to hop back in. And so it's just, yeah, it's just sad. It's just sad that Anthem is turning out this way.
What a fucking bummer. I was really excited to play it. And it was, it's funny listening to Waypoint, like, talk about it. Like, at every time they're like, man, like, flying feels really good and this and that. But, like, I really want to like the game, but, like, it was every time. It was just, they really want to like the game, and... I've definitely been there before too, but it's one of those things where it's like, if I had the funds to be able to kind of take a risk on like another game and be like, oh, like, it's not very good, but there are things that I like about it. Like, I don't have the time or the funds available to kind of like spend $60 on a game that could potentially brick my $400 PlayStation. So until that's all resolved, I'm definitely going to stay away from that game, which is sad.
It's a game that I hope, like, in 6 months it'll cost me like $20 to pick up, $30, and it'll not
be awesome,
like, and it won't brick a PS4 potentially. That's rough.
Yeah, that's definitely a bummer for sure. This it's such a bummer that the two things that we have that kind of round out our like little news segment today are kind of both like bummers. But, so, Captain Marvel reviews are happening, and, like, people, like, shitty dude bros that are in comics are, like, deliberately going in and, like, fucking up reviews for Captain Marvel so that it can't actually get the rating that it actually needs to, not needs to get, but, like, is supposed to get.
Should get.
Yeah.
It's interesting because, like, there's an interesting article that the Mary Sue put up, which is Captain Marvel is fun and most of the negative reviews are written by men, shocking, which is, like, not untrue. I think that there's a, unfortunately, like, reductive nature to that, because it's like you get these things where it's like Captain Marvel is important as, like, the first female led Marvel film. Mm-hmm. So it should just be like reviewed on its merit, and I think if people don't like it, that's fine. The problem is that, which I didn't know this was a thing, Rotten Tomatoes allowed user reviews before movies came out.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if a movie was on Rotten Tomatoes database, you could submit a user review for it before the movie ever came out. So Captain Marvel was getting review bombed by people who never even saw the movie.
Right.
Like, at all. Just gone. So they have now made a change where you cannot do audience scores, I guess, before movies come out. Or at least they did it for Captain Marvel. Because if you go there now on the Rotten Tomatoes website, Captain Marvel has like an 84% of from the tomato meter, which is all the critics, the critics aggregate, rather. And the audience score is not available.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, and it's not available for anything that's, like, not out yet, from what I can tell. So that's good. I mean, I think that they should have never had that open
right.
for people before you see the movie.
Right.
But it just, it sucks that it's, like, when you have movies that are important, like, for representation,
yeah,
it's so hard for, like, there to be any sort of normal discussion about them.
Yeah.
Because, and I'm not, to clarify and put this down before I continue, I'm not equating anything, because there's a, to me, a gigantic difference between a bunch of, like, man babies review bombing a movie because it has a female lead versus there sort of being a blind, like, support of something because it has a female lead.
Right.
I think, like, one of those, like, the man baby thing is, like, awful and shitty and a problem with misogyny. I think the other one is more about how we should still be critical of our media, even if it's something that, like, specifically speaks to us or that is important.
Yeah.
I don't think it should give give anything a pass just because it's like, well, look at all the diversity in it.
Yeah, absolutely not.
It's good that it has that.
Yeah.
So I think, like, that's why that that Mary Sue article, like, some people were, I think someone, who was it? Someone on Twitter I was following basically, like, was like, hey, this isn't, like, we can talk about this movie being not good and that be a valid critique because art is
subjective.
Yeah. And not be like, well, it's just because men are saying these bad things about it. Sure.
Yeah. Like, both things can be true at the same time. Like, Captain Marvel can be important for representation because it is the first female-led Marvel movie, and that in and of itself is very important, considering that, again, with the Marvel Cinematic Universe being around for, what, roughly a decade at this point, and there haven't been any female-led movies, it is a big deal for the MCU. Absolutely it is. But that shouldn't come at the detriment of having open and honest conversations about like, the storytelling, about the acting, about whatever it may be that's up for debate, which, again, like you were saying, art is subjective, and these are conversations that have to be had. And this conversation happens a lot, too, especially with there being a lot of like, Black-created content that's out and available now, too. It's kind of like, where is the line to where we want to support each other because there's room and space for all of us, but we still at the same time have to have these open and honest conversations about the work and to be able to speak critically about it so that we can make better work. So I think there's this apprehension to speak openly and honestly about certain things, especially when it comes to representation and us finally being at a point to, like, oh my God, we're seeing family dramas about Latinx families. We're seeing, like, Black sitcoms about queer characters. We're seeing female-led Marvel movies or whatever that may be. But we still have to have these critiques. Those critiques still need to happen. But we say it all the time on the show. Critiquing something doesn't mean that you're shitting on the work. It's you're having a discussion. You're having a discussion about something. It doesn't have to be, like, an argument. Like, and I think, again, that piece of it, especially in the age of Twitter is hard because people, because like it's either hot and cold. It's either yes or no. There's no, in 280 characters, there's no way to discern, to find that nuance unless you're doing a Twitter thread. And even then, because Twitter algorithms are trash and the way that Twitter like organizes tweets isn't always good. So you might see an out of context tweet that's part of a tweet thread that shows up because it has a lot more engagement and it says, oh, these are tweets that you missed. It's a middle of a conversation of like a 15 or 20 tweet long thread. Like you're seeing one of those posts out of the entire context of that conversation. So it's hard to have those nuanced conversations in a medium that doesn't really allow people to see things in its full context.
And it's one of those things where it's like, I think that there is conversation to be had where it's like, you know, why if a lot of reviews, which they, I guess they are as well, but like, okay, say here, let me regain my thoughts here. If Captain Marvel has a bunch of reviews coming in that are negative and it's predominantly from men, I think that there is a discussion to be had there of like, well, why is that? Mm-hmm. Because I think that there is probably like, I think that you could definitely draw some conclusions of these male critics might have some misogyny going on, and that might be why they don't like the movie. Mm-hmm. Now, they could not like it for completely normal. I think you would need to see it, like look at that critic's work to get an idea of like where they tend to lie with that stuff, where it's like, wow, this critic really hates movies with like female leads. Well, then it's like, okay, well then there's something going on here, right? I think like that's an important or interesting discussion. Also, just like, you know, I understand to some degree, like if something with a female lead doesn't appeal to you, that's also like a question you should be asking yourself. Yeah. Why is that the case? Yeah. Why can't you get into this? And like you should be attempting to broaden your ability to consume things that aren't made explicitly for you, and understand how to appreciate art that isn't made to be just for you. Like, I get it. I'm still going to be into shit that like appeals to me. If you put some like anime bullshit like in something that's like trashy, like there's certain things that will get me 100%. Yeah. But part of what's important about consuming art and consuming different types of art is to like broaden your palate. Yeah. It's like eating food, right? If you eat trash all the time, you're going to love trash. I'll never not love Taco Bell. Yeah. Like I'm going to eat Taco Bell always. But you got to try different things and like widen your palate to appreciate things that maybe aren't necessarily made for you explicitly.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's like, that I think is a valid conversation to have in this realm. But it does suck that it kind of like weaponizes just a movie you want to go see. And it shouldn't be a thing. It should just be like, I just want to go see this movie. And if I go see Captain Marvel and I don't like it, for me to be able to be like, it wasn't for me.
And that's okay too. It's okay. It's like, you know what? A lot of people really like this, and it's not for me. There are like plenty of shows, games, comics, all that stuff. It's like I see the appeal. It's just not my thing. I'm not gonna go on like Metacritic and like trash something because like I didn't like this, like for what purpose does that serve me to do that? It doesn't really, and I think, it doesn't serve a purpose to me to do that.
I think it's also important, like as you get older, especially if you're like, especially in games, but like not everything's made for you. Like things are made for kids sometimes. So if you're like really upset or like, oh, this is like stupid or this isn't like whatever enough, it's like, yeah, but like, is the demographic this game or this movie is going for for you, or is it for kids?
Exactly. I mean this is the She-Ra and the Princess of Power conversation all over again. Like it's like people are like, oh, like that's not my She-Ra, and it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. Like because She-Ra and the Princess of Power, which is fucking fantastic, exists.
It's so good.
It's clearly not aimed for you. Like, look at the impact that show is having on little girls. Like, I saw so many videos of little girls, like, singing along with the theme song and, like, jumping for joy and, like, being happy and excited the second that the theme song came on. Like, that's who those things are for. Like, and for anyone, this is specifically to the Shira conversation, and if anyone is, like, getting butthurt about, like, Shira being different and appealing to kids, like, go back and watch the original. That show was made with the intent to sell Shira dolls to girls. Like, yeah. that hasn't changed. The demographic of who it appeals to has not changed. Does Shira look like a fucking, like stripper, like, supermodel, like, anymore? Well, her design wasn't very, like, wasn't, like, a stripper or anything. But, like, she doesn't look like a supermodel. And that's okay that she doesn't look like a supermodel. Like, it's fine. And if you like the original, it's okay. That's fine. Enjoy that. But you don't have to shit on people that are enjoying Princess of Power. Like, I've done my fair share of dunking on Sailor Moon Crystal before in the past, too. But, like, do people like it? Sure. What's great about that is that it gets more people into the thing that I love with every fiber of my being. So at the end of the day, if that show makes more people fans of the thing that I love, I'm not going to shit on them for like, their entry point being that thing. Like, that's just what their entry point was. And hopefully, by you being a good fan, what you would do as a person that's a fan of something, and someone else comes to you and says, hey, I just saw this thing, and I really like it, and I know that you like it too. Like, is there more stuff? Where can I watch more? This and that. When that happens, I'm like, are you ready for me to shovel all this shit down your throat? Are you ready? Because I have all the resources, and I can talk your ear off about it all day. Like, you're like, that's, you should be wanting to embrace more people to like the thing that you like. This age of, like, nerd gatekeeping, it's not the 90s anymore, to where, like, you having a deck of Pokemon cards or Magic cards, like, is a bad thing. Like,
no, and also it doesn't make you special.
You special either. Like, you liking Magic the Gathering does not make a personality. Like, it's no. Like, you are not special by liking video games. You are not special for liking comic books. Like, people can like all of those things. There's no need for you to gatekeep these things from other people.
You're special by being a good person. Yeah. Like, that's, like, yeah, that's how that
you
works.
You being an awesome person and bringing more people into the thing that you like and giving them the resources to giving them the first version of the comic that came out, to sharing your box set of your show to someone that has only seen one or two episodes but really enjoyed what they saw of it. Like, that's what makes you awesome. That's what makes people want to get to know you, to share their interest with you, is by you allowing them in and sharing the thing that you love with them as well.
And, like, to bring this, like, directly back to what I was talking about, the Sonic design, yeah. Right? Like, that design, subjectively, to me, like, a design perspective, sucks and is bad. I think it also does a bad job of capturing Sonic. But that movie's going to be meant for kids. Kids who probably, like, might not know Sonic very well, or know Sonic from Sonic Boom, or, like, which Sonic Boom is a really, really good cartoon show, by the way. But, like, if kids love it and they love Sonic, then, like, okay, I'm not going to go tell a kid that he's wrong and stupid. Yeah. I mean, kids are stupid, let's be real. Mm-hmm. But, like, I hate kids so much. but, like, I'm not going to go tell a kid that he's wrong and stupid because he's enjoying a thing. Like, that's why it's on this intro. It's like, I think it's a fine line, but it's also, like, not that hard to just not be a dick. If, like, someone really likes or enjoys something and you feel differently about it, if you want to voice why, I think, like, you just got to make sure that you have a balanced discussion and be, like, chill about why you don't like that thing, why you think that it looks like, you know, it doesn't look good, and not diminish the other person for liking it.
Exactly.
Which shouldn't be hard. It shouldn't be hard to, like, be like, yeah, I don't really like that. Like, that happens with me in anime all the time. I have friends that like anime, and I'll be like, oh, man, the animation of that thing fucking sucks. I can't get into it. And you just, like, just don't diminish them for liking it.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yep.
Like, it's easy. It's not that hard.
It really isn't hard. Like, at all.
Anyway, that's news. We got a bunch of questions from our Discord,
DJ. We do. I'm looking through.
We should, like, do you want to, like, lighten round through some of these and see how far we get? Because we got a bunch.
We'll lightning round these, because that'll put us right at around, our normal episode length time. So this comes from Goat. How much of a crush do you have on Baptiste? I'm ready to risk it all.
Yeah.
His skins kind of suck, but I'm ready to risk it all.
He big.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into it. No, he's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, Overwatch. Just give me a woman now.
Yeah, now just give us a black woman. That'd be great.
From Sig, Storm from X-Men versus Shiva from Final Fantasy. Why do we got to pit successful women against each other? No, it's so that's only half the question. Storm from X-Men versus Shiva from Final Fantasy. Who would win in a fight, but also where would they go for brunch afterwards? I gotta go Shiva. I'm sorry. That diamond dust snap is... Like, Storm is great. Storm is an icon. Mm-hmm. But that diamond dust snap is, like, the moment we all knew we were gay.
Oh, I mean, it really was.
it was the gay awakening.
It truly was.
We were asleep, and then Shiva snapped, and we were all just like,
oh. Yeah, I'm like, oh, I'm gay now.
Oh, and where are they go for brunch? I feel like Shiva loves a mimosa. I feel like she's basic enough about that. Like, she's a goddess. She has everything, but she's amused and loves the simple joy of a bottomless mimosa. Mm-hmm.
I, too, enjoy the simple joy of a bottomless mimosa. So, that works.
Mm.
I do love getting day drunk. It's my fave.
It's the best.
And then taking a good nap after?
Uh-huh.
Man, we're old.
Yeah, we are.
This comes from Wayne01. I just got confirmation that I'm getting into Artist Alley for the first time and was wondering about your do's and don'ts and maybe even general horror stories about them. Thank you for your time.
Ooh.
I could talk your ear off all day about Artist Alley, but I'll say this. Day before the convention, if you already have your table set up, make sure you go to the bank, get $100 in change. So I'm talking like mostly ones, fives, and tens, because you're going to need that change, because no one's going to have singles. People are going to bring you 20s and 50s and $100 bills and be like, hey, can you make change for this?
And if you don't have a card reader set up already, get a Square.
Yeah, get a Square card reader, PayPal, Clover, whatever. You need something. And if you've used a Square reader and stuff before in the past, and you use it for conventions, you probably haven't signed into that account in a while. So make sure that you're signed in and ready to go. So when that convention starts up, that you are ready to start getting your coins. The faster you can get the coins, the more coins that you can acquire that whole convention. What else will I say?
If you have friends at the convention, try to make sure they don't just hang out in front of your table for hours because it'll fuck up with your sales.
Yeah, so if your homies are just coming just to chit chat with you, like
you're working,
like, let's keep it cute. It's good to see you, boo boo. Unless that person wants to come behind the table and be your table partner and help you out, then that's one thing, but. Like, keep the conversations quick and brief. No, it's not anything against you personally. Just you're trying to make some money. So do that. But yeah, I could go on all day. We want a lightning round through the rest of this. Hit me up on Twitter.
Oh.
And I'll talk to you about it all
day. And here's the thing I had to learn. Don't, at least from what I've seen, don't, like, I hate when I have people, and I'm in the Artist Alley, and people, like, engage me when I'm not at their table. Like, if I'm just, like, walking in and looking, like, don't do, like, a carnival barker. Mm-hmm. Like, don't try to, like, drum up business, right? Like, if I come by and I'm, like, standing in front of your table and looking at your stuff and you want to say hi to me and ask me how it's going, how's my con, that's totally fine. But if I'm just, like, walking by, don't engage me. If I'm at someone else's table looking at their shit, do not, because that's not only for me does that suck. That's nasty for the people who I'm at their table. Yeah.
You're like...
Like, don't poach.
Yeah, don't be like, get your anime titties here. Anime titties over here.
Okay, but if someone was saying that, I would go over. Because that'd be too good.
Yeah.
Get your Taco Bell and anime titties here. I'd be like, well, yes,
well,
sir.
Sign me up.
Here I come.
But please hit me up on Twitter. I can give you a list of things that you should have at your table. I can give you all my recommendations of what to get, how to arrange things. I can get you, like, send you links, everything all day. Moving on to King Lupa. King Lupa says, if you could pick any three non-legendary Pokemon for your Pokemon journey, which would you pick? Easy, Pikachu, for sure, because I'm that girl. I have to have it. I would also have an Arcanine, because I want a giant fire dog to ride all over the Pokemon world. And then I would also like to have a Squirtle, because Squirtle is adorable.
A Mudkip, because it's the cutest. Probably like a Haunter.
Yeah.
And then, there's a good... Which ghost type do I want? I don't think Chandelier is it. God, what's the one that turns into a pumpkin looking thing? God, Pumpkaboo? What is it? Is it Pumpkaboo? Oh, I want a Pumpkaboo. Give me that fucking Pumpkaboo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love Pumpkaboo.
It's another question from Got again. So if you were literally and physically Princess Peach, which Smash Brothers character would you go on a date with? Easy, I'm going on a date with Richter because of those arms.
And that whip. Yeah, Let's not forget. That whip.
Yeah, good old whip daddy.
It's built right in.
Yeah, because fuck Simon Belmont because he looks like a men's rights activist, so I'm good.
But if Alucard is in the game, though, Alucard. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is from Scarlet Queen. Who or what are you most excited to see or do at Emerald City Comic Con? Well, I'm not going to be there.
First and foremost, I am saddened that my baby boy will not be there with me this year.
I got
to
go back.
I wish that you were there. I am very excited just to see all my friends again. It's like a fucking high school reunion every year. So, like, seeing a lot of my, like, favorite people from Twitter, like, at the convention is great. I'm really excited to see Trungles, who is, like, a fucking treasure. I love him to pieces. And he's in the same, like, table block as me, so I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited to see, like, one of my oldest friends in the world, Mr. Tyson Hess. We went to school together, and we went both high school and college together. It'll just be good to see him, because I haven't seen him in a minute. So I'm really excited to see my buddy, and I have a shit ton of interviews and like signings and shit that I'm gonna be doing, so I'm really looking forward to doing that.
Dude, this is very important this year.
I'm really important this year, you guys. Let's see. Oh, and King Loop was like, clearly the answer to that question is me. I know that you're like always at every convention that I'm at, so it'll be good to see you too. I'm excited to see you there. you want to read the next one?
Yes. If you could make any video game dude thicker, which boy deserves heft? Ooh. I'm trying to think of, like, who I'm, like, too small. Who's too small? Who's, like, I love, but you're too small?
Let's see. Oh, God. Now I gotta, like, look. I'm like, who's...
Okay, but what if Sonic was thick? Because Sonic is, like, real spindly.
Sonic the thick hog?
Give me, you know, that's honestly, like, old Sonic was kind of thick. Like, he was round. He was a round boy.
Let's see. Who would I pick? I'm, like, looking at, my wall of fan art and trying to see, like, what's going on.
In general,
I would just like Blizzard to not be afraid to give all the men in Overwatch asses, because they got mad pancake butt back there. Like, Reaper in his Reyes costume. It's like, where is it ass? Like, where is it?
How are you going to do that to a Latino man?
How are you going to do that? Like, give him an ass. Like, just inject everyone with like, a booty. Like, they need it. Everyone needs it.
It's like them taking Snake's booty away in Smash. God. And I was like, what are you doing?
Homophobia. What are you doing? Homophobia.
It's real.
This one comes from Peekaboo. I've watched 2 episodes of Air Gear. What are your thoughts on this anime? It's a mess.
It is a complete mess. It's... fun trash. Yeah,
the manga is way better. Also, because O'Great's art is fucking incredible.
O'Great is amazing.
It's so good. Some of those page layouts are some of, like, the most insane comic page layouts I've ever seen before in my fucking life. And they're amazing. And randomly, like, later on in the comic, Barack Obama shows up. So there's that.
I bought 2 of his art books, but kind of doujin mm-hmm. collections while I was in Japan. I had to throw one of them away because they were sealed. They were used, sealed in the store. And O'Great's art is amazing. Some of the stuff he has drawn short stories of and doujin of is like too fucked up for me. Too nasty. Mm-hmm. So I had to throw it away. The other one is like has some fucked up stuff, but I was like, I'll keep this one because like 90% of it is things that don't make me feel queasy. But his art's fucking like fantastic.
This one comes from K-Throne, and K-Throne says, why the fuck do people keep making characters straight? Did they forget it's 2019? I mean, really, if we're gonna be real, like, why?
That's more of a mood than a question.
I thank you for the read. Like, I definitely appreciate it. Like, straight people in my 2019, yikes.
It's more likely than you think. Professor Litwick, what video game do you want to see have an anime adaptation?
I would love to see, like, any Zelda game get an anime adaptation.
Ugh.
Like, anything.
Yeah.
Like, any of them.
Yeah.
Would watch, 100%.
Mega Man's had a couple animated adaptations, and they're bad. Sonic has some good adaptations. It's not anime, though. Or video game. Actually, yeah, video game to anime. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I'm just, like, so in love with. God, I can't... A Nier anime adaptation
It needs to be, like, A1 Pictures or Studio Bones or something. Like, they have to throw the money at that.
It's 2019, and I still... Nier is still my game of the year in 2019. Just putting that up there. So.
I mean, points were made.
Game of the decade. Gay Black Geek says, which starter are you picking for Sword and Shield if you are? Who is the goodest boy? And also, who is the goodest boy, Mob or Deku? Two different questions. Yeah. Unless Score Bunny's second and third evolutions are, like, super trash, probably Score Bunny.
Yeah, if Sobble's evolutions are trash, if they're not trash, I will be picking Sobble.
And who's the goodest boy, Mob or Deku? That's a hard question. Deku's, like, so good, but I feel like Mob Psycho is more, like, emotionally... I don't know, something about Mob Psycho is more, like, emotionally impactful to me than My Hero.
I
think it's My Hero, so, like, by the books, by the numbers shonen.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I think, like, if that question were, like, who's, like, the best boy, like, two Shonen Jump protagonists together, then that would be a different conversation, but, yeah, I think between the two, I would definitely pick Mob. For sure.
DJ, you gotta read it.
It's White Dick Wednesday. Let's talk about how hot Leon S. Kennedy is. He's very hot.
Okay, I think from Saf. I'm not gonna like not attribute this to Saf because we have to shame.
Yeah,
you're not gonna get away with it. We're gonna say who you are. It's White Dick Wednesday. No, Leon is the hottest.
I don't know if I like his weird baby face pretty boy in the RE2 remake.
It is weird, like, but at the same, it's very weird, but then, like, that, I don't know if it's, like, a DLC costume where he's, like, not wearing a shirt, and I was just like,
And I love, just, like, it's not even a question, but, like, I love that, like, Black Barbara Gordon was, like, white dick, Jesus.
You know what, if we can say that the rest of the week, like, none of the other 7 days of the week can be about white men or white men centric.
I'm fine with Wednesday. I'm fine.
White Dick Wednesdays can be a thing.
I'm fine.
If everyone else could see other 6 days.
Yeah. Like, RE4 Leon S. Kennedy. Yeah. And
Pizza Friday, Taco Tuesday, White Dick Wednesday. That's just how.
It's fine.
Check your local school cafeteria menu.
Get a daily dose serving of white dick on Wednesday.
Take those grapes out of your Jello. They shouldn't be in there. Get them out
now.
Now, if any of you in chat say that fruit and Jello is good, I swear to God, I'll just get rid of the entire Discord. I'll burn it to the ground.
Yikes! 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 But
fruit doesn't belong in Jello. It doesn't.
I'm not a fan of that. Not.
I'm not. Good, because this podcast can keep going.
Yeah. I would also agree that fruit doesn't belong in Jello. I'm not.
Controversial.
Yeah,
opinions,
yeah.
Unpopular opinions here.
Unpopular opinion. Fruit doesn't belong in Jello.
Don't at me.
Don't at me, but fruit doesn't belong in Jello.
Ugh.
Yeah,
that does it for us.
Do you have any don't at me? Is there anything like on the top of your mind? Where you're like, you know what, don't at me, but anything.
Nah, I think
you're good.
Pretty not. I think I'm pretty not mad today. So I think it's okay. Besides the Jell-O thing, I swear to God.
Yeah, I'm not mad at anything today. But don't at me. But In-N-Out is trash. Like that's just where I stand. I don't like it.
Ooh, see, as a company, yes, they're trash. Like, they're owned by trash people. Okay, here's the thing. As someone who doesn't live in a place where there is In-N-Out, the allure of the In-N-Out as a rarity makes sense
and
to
me. And I get that. And I totally get it.
And I think it's, I think In-N-Out is about as good as Wendy's.
Ooh.
Like, I think an In-N-Out burger to me, I was like, it just reminded me of having a Wendy's burger. And I love a Wendy's burger. So, that was it though.
I wish there were more Wendy's around me because, bitch, their fucking spicy chicken nuggets are everything.
Now I want Cookout now.
Fuck! Now I want Cookout too. God damn it.
Do you guys have Cookout out there? I didn't think so.
If we had Cookout, I would be 400 pounds. My God.
No. Maybe I shouldn't have Cookout.
Fat boy, which, I mean, whatever.
Which is fine.
Fine.
Enjoy, live that Cookout life.
For real. But yeah, that's going to do it for us.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a pretty, like, jam-packed episode.
Pretty stuffed. And I say that because I have like 6 different tabs open of sex toys on my Chrome tab right now.
Yeah, I've got my Tumblr dashboard open right now, and there are just boys everywhere.
Just a stuffed episode. Yeah,
so, Emerald City Comic Con is next week. So I will be in the Seattle area on Wednesday the 13th through that Monday. I'm really excited to see all of you folks that are listening to the show that are from the Seattle area. I will be there. I will be doing 2 signings with Oni Press for Dream Daddy. So come to Oni's booth. I'll have all the details are on my Twitter. They're on my pinned tweet of like when the signings are, what time, and the location. So you'll be able to see those. I have an interview with Sci-Fi Wire about Dream Daddy and one about Black Mage. So you can come see me talk about that shit on stage live, which is gonna be wild, with Sci-Fi Network. Looking forward to that. And I'll be at my table all weekend with my friend Bobby, who flatted four of the 5 chapters of Black Mage, and I will be like hyping him up and people needing to hire him because he's very good at what he does.
He's just a celebrity, guys. Yeah. DJ's just a big old celebrity.
Oh, no.
Just all the pressure.
it's gonna be a crazy convention. I'm gonna be running all over the place. So if you see me, please say hi. And if I don't know your name right off the top, please don't be mad at me because I'm horrible with names. So just like, be like, hey, I follow you on Twitter, and my name is blah blah blah, and I'll give you a high five, hug, fist bump, whatever you prefer.
If I'm in Seattle and your name's not Clam Chatter, I don't know your name.
Like, just buy a fucking ticket and come stay with me at Nigel's.
You say that like I'm not looking at
You're
prices.
Looking at sex toys. You're not looking at...
No, okay. Okay. It's called a browser and it has multiple tabs in it. I have multiple tabs open. And one of them is for flights. And 10 of them are sex toys. Don't at me.
You guys can find me on social media, on the things that matter, Twitter and Instagram, at OheyDJ. That's OHHEYDJ. Email us at magicalboyspodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter at TheMagicalBoys. And Ruben, where can they find you?
You guys can find me at Rubots, ROOBOTS, pretty much everywhere. And come on, join the Discord. If you're not in the Discord yet, we'll open it up, pop on in. It's great. You can ask us nasty questions and celebrate White Dick Wednesday.
Yeah, celebrate White Dick Wednesday. That's gonna be a thing. Like we're gonna make White Dick Wednesday a thing in the Magical Boys Discord so we can talk about it.
But you're not allowed to talk about White Dick outside of Wednesdays.
You cannot talk about White Dick any other day except for Wednesday.
I swear to God.
Because if you do, we're burning it all to the ground.
You need a platform and support other dick. Other
support dicks
hot
of color.
People, dicks of color,
and other genitalia of color,
and other genitalia of
everything, all of it.
White dick is only on
Wednesday. That's it. Period. Big dot.
Not. Period.
No. No other day.
Dot.
That's it.
Not allowed.
We love you all very much, and we will see you all next time. Bye.
Bye.